ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Thank you for joining us on this Winger Wednesday. But it's now becoming a tradition here on Wednesdays here in the NFL preseason. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have NFL preseason games starting tomorrow night. So if you don't have the fever yet, get used to it because it's coming. Tomorrow night, we've got preseason games all weekend long, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And who better to get us ready for the preseason? And I look around the corner. I'm peeking my head around. Those fantasy drafts are almost here, folks. He is our fantasy football expert. You can hear him weekdays, 10 to noon, here on ESPN Radio with Matthew Lawrence. He is Jimmy Phillips. Jimmy, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic, and I'm doing even better now that we're talking some fantasy.
There you go. There you go. Now, just a general question before we get started. In terms of these NFL preseason games, now, are you going to sit around and get the bag of popcorn and watch every game stem to stern, beginning to finish? Or are you one of those that maybe just looks for certain players or certain things in these games? Because unlike you, I think I might have a little action on some of these games. How do you handle the preseason as a fantasy football owner?
I will tell you now, I'm not going to sit down and watch start to finish any of the preseason games, but I will pick and choose certain games. Like, I would like to see Jaden Daniels to see how he looks with the Commanders. There's other teams that I would like to see. Just, you know, one, it depends which starters are going to be playing. Like for the Steelers, I will want to watch those games because I want to see Justin Fields. Just, well, anytime he's on the field, I like watching him. But just, I want to see what he looks like in this offense. I want to see how comfortable he looks. Things like that, I will look and see and, you know, kind of go around and look. Mostly, I will be on Twitter looking at different clips and highlights that people put together of the starters when they do play in the games. Because it's, you know, you tune in and you're like, oh, I missed the two series that they were on. And, you know, one of those things.
Right. You mentioned Justin Fields. We'll get to him shortly. But we've got Cincinnati Bengals football. And I was told by our nemesis, Dead Air Dennis Dillon, that even the preseason games will be on Classic Rock. So starting 5:30 Saturday night, if you are so inclined to listen, Bengals and Bucks live on Classic Rock starting at 5:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. Boy, that's an hour and a half pregame show. That's got to be good stuff for an NFL preseason game. But Joe Burrow starting this first game for, you said, Bengals, and we see the line in this game. The Bengals are 3.5-point favorites, neither here nor there. Do you look for anything in this Bengals game over the Tampa Bay? Because I saw a quote this morning. We talked about the running back situation and how maybe this Chase Brown character might be the guy to draft. Here's offensive tackle Orlando Brown quoted this morning. I read, if I could play fantasy football, I'd take Chase Brown as my first running back. He's going to have a big year. I guarantee it. Special talent, special player. Now, we all know on this show, we kind of poo-poo quotes and cliches and stuff like that. But are you of the irk now that maybe, just maybe, Chase Brown could be somebody to look at even higher than even the positive people are projecting for him this year?
I will say Orlando Brown, he must not play fantasy football ever, because that would be a bold strategy to go either taking Chase Brown in the first round or going zero RB strategy all the way until the ninth round. I don't know how that would work. But I do think that when you have teammates and stuff saying things like that, now it could be, you know, hyping him up or just talking him up. But it is trending. You know, 2 weeks ago when I first came on, it was kind of, you know, 50-50, whether it was just, you know, with six in one hand, a half dozen in the other for Moss or Chase Brown. But last week, it started trending more towards Chase Brown. And now it seems like even more it's trending towards Chase Brown being the guy in the backfield. So it is looking more that way. Now, that is, and again, you look at the value that you're getting with Chase Brown, to where if you could get him in the, you know, ninth round, 10th round, even into the 11th round, depending on where you're drafting, you know, he could be the steal of the draft if he ends up being the guy that's getting the bulk of the carries. I don't think it's going to be a one-man backfield either way. But if you're getting a guy that's going to get the majority of the carries and third down work and passing work late in the draft like that, that is huge if Chase Brown, if you can get him.
Chase Brown, last year in Illinois, he played a couple years ago, over 1,600 yards And so it's not like he hasn't done this before or, you know, hasn't been the bell cow type guy. He did it in college. Granted, it's at Illinois, but still, Big Ten school. He's done it before. Yeah, I think he's a better choice right now than Zach Moss, the big, highly paid free agent coming into town. But yeah, I'm with you on this one. We don't follow trends. We set them here on this show. We kind of were ahead of this Chase Brown thing a few weeks ago. Another thing with the Bengals, with Jamar Chase's hold in, we get to look at new receivers. Apparently, the buzz of camp so far is Andre Iosivis, and I couldn't pronounce his name last year, and I can't this year either. He had decent games last year, 6th-round pick a year ago. Is this someone maybe wide receiver 3 on this team once Chase comes back? What have you seen here?
I feel like, and I think because his last name is so hard to pronounce, I think that's why they just gave him the nickname Yoshi, and that's why everyone just was calling him Yoshi. But I feel like for just a normal redraft league, I don't think he would be worth taking because you would have to end up stashing him because, you still have Trent Irwin that's in the mix too, as far as, and he is also another one that's comfortable with the offense. But as long as Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are out there, unless you're in a very deep league. Now, there are some leagues where you play in like a 16-team league or you have, the super flexes or double flexes or whatever league you're in. But I would say just a normal league, and it's not a dynasty league. Now, if we're talking dynasty, Yoshi could have some great value there. So could Jermaine Burton. He's another one because if you assume T. Higgins is going to be gone next year, one of these guys, and I don't think Trent Irwin would be the one, I think it would either be Burton or Yoshi, to step up in a huge role next year. That could be something to really monitor, and that could be huge with watching these preseason games is who seems to be having the best chemistry and, just looks better on the field, whether it be Yoshi or a Burton.
So, yes, Bengals and Bucks, 5:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff on Classic Rock 92.1. Good news for us, Dead Air Dennis Dillon will not be part of the announcing crew. So, yes, make sure to tune in on Saturday night if you cannot watch the game in person. But there's all kinds of other stuff going on around the league. And one interesting kind of team right now, before we get into the risers and the fallers, San Diego Chargers. And as someone with a little bit of a healthcare background, when you hear someone have plantar fasciitis, and that's what the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert has, and they're saying, oh, he's going to be fine by week 1. I'm not so sure he will be. Your thoughts on the Chargers and a lot of things maybe with their coaching that you're seeing this year from a fantasy perspective, Jimmy?
Yeah, that one, the plantar fascia, that does scare me a little bit just because it's one of those injuries you can't tell what he's going to do because I feel it's different from person to person. It's not like it's a low ankle sprain and you go, oh, okay, well, we see this all the time. And this is exactly how you recover from it. With it being the plantar fascia, from what guys have said that have played in the league that have had it, it's just excruciating pain. And the only way to have it go away is to just rest it and stay off your feet. But then it could come back because it's anything with your feet is just not ideal heading into a season. Kind of like Joe Burrow with his calf strain last year, where it's one of those, like, you think it's okay until you could pop it very easily. But another thing that has gotten my attention is the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, Greg Roman, and his history that he's had with offenses. Now, if we're talking running the ball, he is one of the best offensive coordinators when it comes to a running offense. But his passing offense, since he got in the league in 2011 with my 49ers, so I'm very familiar with Greg Roman. I watched a lot of his games. But in his years, now this is just his passing offense numbers out of 32 teams, passing attempts per year, which would affect Justin Herbert and the pass catchers for the team. He finished 31st, 31st, 32nd, 29th, 31st, 32nd, 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 finished 9th in the league in 2021 with the Ravens and Lamar, and then 28th in the league in 2022. So I look at that and you say, okay, Justin Herbert is dealing with plantar fascia coming into the season. They got rid of Mike Williams. They got rid of Keenan Allen. They have this offensive coordinator who's not known to throw the ball, and they have Jim Harbaugh who loves to run the ball when he was at Michigan. So I am very cautious of drafting anyone that's a pass catcher with the Chargers and Justin Herbert.
I read for someone, a very trusted source earlier this week, that the Chargers have, outside of quarterback, their skill position players are easily the worst in the league right now, especially since they dumped Austin Eckler, got too old, and Mike Williams is gone. All those guys, we don't know what to expect from any of them because none of them are really proven. So, yeah, very good point. And it kind of brings up with this Greg Roman, if his numbers are so bad everywhere, how come he keeps getting jobs? So it's all about who you know. It's about all about who you are in life. But yeah, I'm down on the Chargers all around. I look at the Chargers as 3.5-point favorites over the Raiders week one. I'm salivating to take the Raiders in that one, even though the Raiders are awful and have no quarterback. So yeah, I'm with you on the Chargers for that one. Let's talk about another team, maybe one that's a little closer to your heart, Jimmy Phillips of ESPN Radio, the San Francisco 49ers. A headline: Christian McCaffrey will miss preseason with a calf strain. Now, am I supposed to go in? Let's say I'm drafting tonight for some crazy reason. Am I supposed to go into that and say, well, he's out for the preseason, I'm just going to mark him off my list? Where should this bother you as a 49ers fan or a potential McCaffrey first round overall pick?
It does bother me a little bit. It's not anything that's a super big cause for concern, but you don't like to see it because he's dealt with calf things before. Last year during the season, there was a lot of games, especially down the stretch of the end of the year, you would see him on the sideline flexing his calf a lot, and he would get his calf massaged. And anytime you see that, it's not good going into a season. Bengals fans, you know all about this with calf strains. And you don't know, is this a real calf strain, or is this just he has tightness and they're aware of it and they say, we don't even want to risk it at all to turn into a strain, which could turn into a tear, as we know. So it does give me a little cause for concern. But if I'm drafting tonight, I would still take Christian McCaffrey 101 overall. This to me is not that big of a concern where you would take him off the board if you have the number one overall pick. If I'm number two overall, I hope the person drafting in front of me doesn't take him for that reason, so he can slip to me at the number two pick. But no, it would not turn me off of Christian McCaffrey as of right now. Now, if there's more stuff that comes out that it's more serious than this, then we could go from there. But as of right now, no, this would not take me off of CMC.
So many people remember the 2 years in a row where McCaffrey went number one overall in almost every league, and yet he played, I think, 10 games combined in those 2 years. One game, one year he played 7, the other year he played 3. And people who drafted him first, I'm never doing this again. But here we are again, 2 or 3 years later, and we're in the same position. Do you get a little – so it's the red flags here.
Yeah.
We've seen him before with McCaffrey, but I'm with you. I think you still got to draft him. I think at this point it's still kind of precautionary. But then again, that's why we don't draft this early. But let's talk about another 49er, Brandon Ayuk. He's been rumored to be traded everywhere, from Cleveland to New England to Pittsburgh. If you're drafting tonight, how do you handle him? And let's say he does stay with the 49ers, how do you handle Brandon Ayuk, who's a very good wide receiver in fantasy? How do you handle him going forward?
It is one of those, because this could change the ripple effect of this trade. If it does happen, could affect a lot of things. I mean, if he gets traded, because then you have to question too, does he get traded for another receiver? You would assume. So then that receiver comes in and would take his role. But there's just so many questions. Again, this is why it's ridiculous. I would hate having to draft this early in the offseason. But let's just go on the scenario that he stays with the 49ers, because that's the only thing. The other ones you would have to do in so many different hypotheticals. Does he go to the Browns? And then Amari Cooper is now a 49er, is what a lot of rumors would be. But if he does stay with the Niners, I think he's still a guy that you would have to assume would be a huge impact player, just like he was last year, where he's going in the second round. I mean, you're getting him at the end of the second round is where I'm seeing a lot of places, like his average draft position is. So I would say nothing's going to change if he's there. I don't think it causes any strife within the locker room. I think all the guys say, okay, you're here, well, you're with us, let's go win again this year. I still think he has an incredible season this year. I would be taking him above where Debo is, just because I think his down-the-field threat is much greater than Debo in this offense.
Let's say the rumors, like you mentioned, are true. He goes to Cleveland for Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Do you just plug Amari Cooper into where you were going to take Ayuk, or do you put him above or below that?
I would honestly put him right where I would take Ayuk, because right now Amari Cooper is going in the 5th round for a lot of his ADP in a lot of leagues. So, and whereas Ayuk is in the middle to end of the 2nd round, to me that boosts Amari Cooper way up. Now again, you could say he doesn't have any rapport with Purdy, he doesn't really know the offense as much, you could say that, but Amari Cooper is, I would say, at that same level skill wise as Brandon Ayuk is. Now, he's 4 years older. That's down the road. We don't care. We're talking fantasy football for this season. I think that boosts Amari Cooper huge if he were to go to the Niners.
Another team that you wanted to discuss today was the Colts. Tell me what you know about the Colts and how that should kind of affect our drafting if we're coming up on a draft here very soon.
Yeah, Josh Downs, a second-year receiver for the Colts, he was injured in practice today. This happened, I think it was maybe an hour, 2 hours ago it came out, but he got a high ankle sprain. It was a 7-on-7 drill. He got taken to the ground, which is ridiculous to have happen in a practice with your own team. But he was injured, and that's a pretty big deal because he was pretty much set up to be the second guy in this offense this year with Anthony Richardson. Obviously, Michael Pittman is the guy in the offense, the big pass catcher for them. But with him going down a high ankle sprain, this could potentially leave him out to start the season. So that could make Adonai Mitchell, the rookie from Texas, his stock could go way up. Then you also have Alec Pierce that you would be dealing with. But it's something to monitor, whereas Josh Downs, he was a big name this year for guys that he could be a huge breakout candidate. He dealt with a few injuries last year, I believe, but the skill set that he had and a lot of the talk out of camp is that him and Anthony Richardson were on the same page. He was set up to have a great year. And that's not to say he can't have a great year. With it happening, I guess you could say the one good thing is it's still very early in the camp, still haven't even had their first preseason game. But something to monitor that maybe his draft stock might slip a little bit, and he may be one. If you're drafting him, you may not have to play him the first couple weeks. You could hold on to him. But just something to note for the Colts is that he is projected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And that's just, again, this just happened this morning, so that's just the initial diagnosis.
Yeah, 68 catches, 771 last year, 2 touchdowns. But every time I see Michael Pittman, I always think of his dad, the old running back from Tampa. I used to draft him. That's how old and how long I've been playing this stupid game. Let's get into some average draft positions that are rising and falling. The risers this week, we talked about it. Chase Brown's number one. Friermuth, the tight end. Devontae Smith is a riser. Lamar Jackson is a riser. Some fallers, DeAndre Hopkins, we're talking injuries. Justin Herbert, Zach Moss, and Nick Chubb. Anything on those lists, top four, for and against, that maybe catches your eye, that makes you maybe want to change your mind in your draft list?
I'm curious with DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like with that, he's getting older. I do like the Titans, though, this year. I think Will Levis, I've been high on Will Levis. Now, from a fantasy perspective, he's a quarterback you could almost get for free. He's almost going undrafted, but are they going to use his rushing upside this year? Because he showed it when he was here at Kentucky, what he can do. And last year, it almost seemed like they didn't want him to run because he I feel like he had plenty of opportunities too, and he didn't. But I feel like the injury to Hopkins could boost Calvin Ridley I'd almost forgotten. It seems like he's not really getting talked about a lot, that he signed a big deal with the Titans this offseason. And he had flashes last year with Trevor Lawrence, and Will Levis having the big arm. I feel like this could be big for Calvin Ridley, that he could, you know, kind of step into more of that role. We don't know with Hopkins' injury. He's another one kind of like the Josh Downs. They're saying he's going to be ready to start the season, but he's getting a little older. It's a knee injury. That's never a good thing with a wide receiver if you're getting older in your years and you have a knee injury. So that's an interesting one with the Hopkins. And with a lot of these ADP risers and fallers, you look at the other guys that are on the team that it could affect in an equal or opposite direction with the ADPs too.
Right, exactly. But the Will Levis thing, if news comes out that he's back with his ex-girlfriend, Gia Duddy, or Gia Duty, as we call her on this show, all bets are off. I could see why Hopkins would be at the top of the ADP losers list, so to speak. We do have week one of preseason coming up. If you are a fantasy owner looking at quarterbacks, and we know we like to wait a few rounds on quarterbacks, does it matter to you that your quarterback is playing or not playing in the first in these preseason games? Because we saw week one last year during the regular season, the guys who played in week one all did really well compared to the guys who didn't play week in the preseason.
I would like to see them play. I mean, unless you're a super veteran like an Aaron Rodgers. To me, I don't think it matters whether he plays week one. Now you have the younger guys or guys that are in newer systems like a Justin Fields for the Steelers. We don't know if he's going to start. Everything keeps saying Russell Wilson, but you keep seeing Justin Fields as, okay, well, what? He's getting a lot more reps with the first team now. And then you have the rookies like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels with Washington. Those types of guys I would really like to see playing as much as they can in the preseason just so they can get used to the speed of the game. And I think that's what translates, as you said last year, the guys that played in week one and more in the preseason, it translated to regular season.
Is there anything else that you're looking for in this preseason? Because here we go now. It's no more of these inter-squad scrimmages that we don't hear anything about. Is there anything else that you're looking for week one, and maybe anything else that you've done in the last week fantasy football-wise before we get you out of here that you want to address?
I will say something that I kind of to go back with what you're saying, risers and fallers, and with the preseason, Pat Freiermuth with the Steelers. He was a guy that I was pretty high on last year going into the season. He dealt with concussions quite a bit, and I like him this year. And with the quarterback, whether it be Justin Fields, because Justin Fields was great with Cole Kmet in Chicago, and then you have Russell Wilson. He's just smart at distributing the ball around. But Arthur Smith is their offensive coordinator. And who did Arthur Smith have his whole time in Atlanta that he just refused to use? And that was Kyle Pitts. So I would like to see this preseason what their offense looks like, whether it be Pat Freiermuth, but just what the offense in general looks like in Pittsburgh. Are they going to use the weapons that they have? Because it seemed like when he was in Atlanta, they didn't do anything with their weapons.
He is our fantasy football expert, and he's done a great job so far in the first few weeks, and we always appreciate his time. And he will give us a stock market report coming up next week. He is Jimmy Phillips. You can hear him every weekday from 10 to noon. Jimmy, tell us where we can find you on social media and anything else you'd like to promote, my friend.
Across all the social medias, Jimmy_radio. And check me out every day, 10 to noon with Matthew Lawrence, with Matthew and Jimmy.
I'm sure Matthew is big into the fantasy football. It lets you go on for hours and hours about the running backs versus receivers in the first round of these drafts. I'm sure he has no problem with that, right?
Yeah, I try to get a couple minutes in a show if I can. So that's why I like to come on here, because you let me go.
doesn't matter if the horses are blind, just load the wagons. That's the way we do it. He's Jimmy Phillips, as always, my friend. We appreciate your time. And until next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy. That's Jimmy Phillips. Make sure to check him out every Wednesday throughout the preseason. If the Reds are playing, we'll get him on another day, or we'll figure something out as we go forward. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, our regularly scheduled show. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball, some other things going on in the world of sports gambling, and, of course, later on, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks for the night in Major League Baseball. That's all coming up. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300.
Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective, brought to you by Circa Sports Kentucky, the way sports betting should be.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor on ESPN 1300 AM and 92.5 FM.
Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Thank you for joining us on this Winger Wednesday. Again, our thanks to Jimmy Phillips, always on fire when it comes to fantasy football information. I don't think he's going to be wagering on the NFL preseason games like we will be. We'll talk about that tomorrow when we finish our NFL preseason systems. We have three of them that we like to play. And we will discuss those tomorrow. Our final NFL preseason systems. By the way, these systems are also in my book, Side Hustle, available on Amazon and in person at Joseph Beth Bookstore. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email the show, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And as always, the text line wide open, 859-381-1313. How you doing? How you feeling? How's your mom and him when it comes to Major League Baseball handicapping these days? Been a tough couple of weeks for us. You know, we keep it's all about getting up and swinging just as hard after you've had I don't want to say we've had a terrible time, but the sides, we've been doing really well. The totals, that's where it's been hurt against the last couple weeks, but we're still swinging. We're still fine. We're still good. So, yeah, we're looking forward to football season, but for us, we'll still be handicapping baseball all the way through the Major League Baseball playoffs. Of course, last year, if you just did what we did, just blindly took all the underdogs, he made a fortune, and I see no reason to change it this year. We'll talk about that as we get closer to playoffs, but 859-381-1313. If you'd like to chime in on how things are going with you in terms of maybe your handicapping knowledge of late. And of course, coming up on the show today, we'll talk Reds early on. We're also going to talk a little bit about the night in Major League Baseball. And yeah, we're going to mix some other things in with on the football side, college football win totals. We always say there's a sucker born every minute. Well, there's a few suckers out there. We will try to discuss the thinking behind some of these people, and we'll look at some other football props going forward as we get ready for NFL preseason week one tomorrow night. We're very excited here. Don't forget Bucks and Bengals, 5:30 Saturday night on Classic Rock 92.1. Make sure to tune in. As always, we thank you so much for joining us. But first, Reds 8, Marlins 2 last night. Eli De La Cruz, 4 more hits. Oh, he's coming around now. Oh, he's on fire. Yeah, he is on fire right now. And, well, Eli De La Cruz right now, we talked about him yesterday, comparing him to Eric Davis, the 20 home run, 58 stolen base, now up to 268. His batting average just about a month ago was down in the 220s. So finally leaving him in that number two spot, maybe it has paid off. But the Eli De La Cruz watch is now on. Speed and power. I remember when I was a kid, Jose Canseco, the first 40-40 guy. He came out before the season. He said, you know what? I'm going to make 40-40 this year. And he had never stolen more than 15 bases in a season before he went 40-40. But he got it in his mind, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to steal bases and I'm going to hit power. Lo and behold, Canseco, 42 home runs and 40 stolen bases in 1988 because, well, that's what he wanted to do. That's what he said he was going to do. But now we're comparing Eli De La Cruz because what else do we have to do with the Reds right now? They're playing games. Yeah, they've beaten the Marlins two out of the first two games to start this series. But we're comparing now because, well, the Reds are not exactly in the thick of a playoff race. They need to win some games in the next couple of weeks to get in a playoff race. But we just saw last year a guy who can very much be similar to Eli De La Cruz, but it's almost like he's got Eric Davis disease because he's been injured almost as much, and that's Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves. Last year, the first guy ever to hit 40 home runs and steal over 70 bases. But what happens when you get a number like that? He made Jose Canseco look silly. 41 home runs, 73 steals last year for Acuna. Led the league in on-base percentage and OPS. OPS plus, runs scored, hits, you name it. That's why he was the MVP of the league. So sometimes we get enamored by these power and speed guys, just like we did with Eric Davis when I was a kid. 41 and 73. Is that to say that Eli De La Cruz could never pull that off? 20 home runs and 58 steals? Common knowledge tells us, and the numbers tell us, the older that Eli De La Cruz gets, the fewer stolen bases he'll get. But it also tells us the more home runs he'll hit. He's only 22 years old. You can put together a season, maybe like 2058 that he's got right now, prorate this towards the end, he gets close to 30 home runs. He's right around 80 stolen bases. Could be looking at the first 30-80 guy. Lord have mercy if he does. But Eli De La Cruz right now, just basically the star of this team because, let's just be honest, why are we really watching this team any other reason other than just watch Eli De La Cruz just be awesome? 4 hits again last night. He's 8-for-10 in the first two games of this series with the Marlins. Remember, it is the Marlins. Quite possibly right there with the White Sox in terms of worst teams in baseball right now, especially when they traded their first their best two players, Jazz Chisholm, and their closer in Tanner Scott. Eli De La Cruz would be tied for 29th in the league in stolen bases if you only included his steals of third base this year. He's stolen third base 18 times. These baseball experts will always tell you it's easier for a guy to steal third than it is second. Ellie De La Cruz is making profits out of those people. Nick Lodolo last night, 99 pitches, 2 runs, 6 innings. That's how you get it done against a team like the Marlins. And even Mr. Cruz out of the bullpen, a 1-2-3 seventh inning. Unbelievable. Comes in a game that was 7-2. Fernando Cruz, way to go. Finally back off the schneid. By the way, have we ever used the phrase off the schneid in anything other than baseball? That leads us to tonight's game. You can hear this game right here on ESPN Radio. Coming up this evening, 6:10 once again. Andrew Abbott for the Reds. And a guy that I think he was also in the Sopranos is a bad guy. His name is Valente Balazzo. Yes, that's him. He is 0-1 with a 4.20 ERA. Smoke him if you got him. This season, Lodolo for the Reds, Abbott for the Reds, 3.41. The line tells the story in this game for me. We've seen a 30-cent line move go to the Marlins. This line opened about a minus 162 consensus most places. Now sitting at a minus 132. Best odds on the Reds tonight of all the major sports books? You guessed it, the Circa, minus 124. Best odds to bet against the Reds tonight also at the Circa, plus 114. So that should tell you a little something. We'll talk about the Circa as we always do a little later. But a 30-cent line move towards the Marlins, and this is in spite of the fact we say 85% of the tickets and 85% of the money on the Reds to win this game on the money line. It scares me off in terms of taking the Reds. It is below my self-inflicted Mendoza line, so to speak, of never betting anything over a minus 150. Total here, started at 8, up to 8.5. That's a steam move. We see over 90% of tickets and money on the over in this one. So for me in this one, I'm staying far away. I would like to take the Reds here, but I don't want to. The fact that this line has moved 30 cents towards Miami with all the money on the Reds, that is as sharp as a tack. That's something I want to stay far away from. If you're going to take the Reds tonight, may the winners be yours, as we like to say. Total, yeah, I'm not going to mess with this total going up either because we see everybody's on the over and the steam has moved this line up a half run. I'm staying far away from this game tonight. If you would like to take the Reds, I cannot fault you. If you want to take the over, I can't fault you there either, but you'll be following a lot of the squares and the chalk to the slaughterhouse if you lose. We're going to stay far away from this game. I'm contractually obligated to go with the side total in some of these games. Yeah, I guess I would take the Reds because they're the better team with the better starting pitcher here. That line move really scares me off, and that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Some other local headlines that have caught my eye. Remember Joey Votto? It looks like he's going to be playing for the major league team in Toronto very soon. Kind of one makes you wonder why. Why is he playing for Toronto? Why is he still playing? Isn't it, haven't we seen enough of Joey Votto? Bless his heart. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he's welcomed in Toronto, a team that's literally out of it. They have no chance of making the playoffs. So what in the world are they doing making him the fans? Maybe they can get some extra fans into the stadium up in Toronto just by letting him come around. Some Kentucky football news. Headline. Brock Vandegrift and Gavin Wimsett playing at the same time for Kentucky football. I thought this Brock Vandegrift with 5 stars and he was never going to get benched and 2 quarterbacks at the same time, huh? I'm of the belief the more that I read about this, the more that I think that they're just not sold on Brock Vandegrift so much. The guy, yeah, 5 stars. I get it. He's also thrown 5 career college passes. Just saying. Some other things that you have to look out for and Mark Stoops will not be happy with. The SEC looking towards mandatory injury reports. We go back to the week that Kentucky played South Carolina a couple of years ago, and a reporter was almost put in a headlock by Stoops when he asked about Will Levis's playing status. We're still waiting on Stoops because he told us, if Will Levis is not going to play, I'll tell you he's not going to play. He never told us he wasn't going to play. Guess what? Will Levis didn't play. But the thing is, the desert knew because South Carolina was coming into town that week, and Kentucky opened a 10-point favorite. By the time the game kicked off, it was a 4-point favorite. And before we knew anything about it, that line had dropped from 10 to 6. Red flags, yeah. Mandatory injury reports. It would help the gamblers, but oh, people like Stoops would hate that to a passion. Our friend John Clay wrote an article in the Herald Leader, Kentucky.com today. Call me crazy, but these are his big predictions for the year. And we agree with most of them, but here's a couple that I did not agree of. And this is our friend John Clay, who has been so good to us, and we don't mean these as belittling him. We just disagree. It's okay to disagree in sports. One of them, call me crazy, John Clay. Yeah, you're crazy. But I think Kentucky football will end the season ranked in the top 25. We have discussed our thoughts on the Kentucky win total quite a bit this year. We're not opposed to going over the 6.5 win total that most places have right now for Kentucky. But it's a three-quad system here for Kentucky. When I say three quads, we've talked about it. We got four games that I think they'll win easily. The three cupcakes and at home against Vandy. Four games also I think you're not going to win. Georgia, at Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Texas. Those are going to be more than touchdown favorites for the other team. Those are games I don't think that Kentucky is going to win. So four up, four down. And the other four are coin flips. South Carolina, at Florida, at home to Auburn, at home to Louisville. Do I think you can get three out of those four? Yeah. Do I think you could get one out of those four? Yeah. So that's where your season's going to flip. So to sit here and say they're going to be ranked in the top 25, even if they win all those, they're 8-4. That's just me. I don't think that gets you ranked. But anyway, another call me crazy from John Clay I'm not so sure about. John Clay thinks Louisville will be 10-1 when they visit Kentucky here in Lexington on November 30th for the Governor's Cup. Well, there's another one that I'm not so convinced is going to be the way to travel because, as we all know, Louisville, I'm not going to say that's who they are, but I'm also not going to say, well, this is not a team to look for going forward. You see Louisville and look at their numbers for the season. What are their tough games coming up? Their tough games at Notre Dame, at Clemson. Those are two that you look at and say, I don't think they're going to win those. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not going to win those games. That's two right there. So you're telling me they're going to sweep all the rest of those games? I'm not so sure. So when you say they're 10-1 going into the Kentucky game, I think they have more than two losses. The two they're supposed to lose to Notre Dame and to Clemson, and then a few others. A game at home against Miami, that's a coin flip game to say the least. So, yeah, there are other games on their schedule. SMU and at Virginia and some other games where I look at and say, yeah, these are not walkover games. These are not games where they're favored by more than a touchdown. So, yeah, those are the two that I disagreed with John Clay on. But, yeah, a good effort. The others were acceptable, John. We'll give you credit for that. But we look forward to hearing from John Clay before the season starts. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, we will look at the night in Major League Baseball from a handicapping perspective and a few college football totals. That's next, ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Lock us in, rip off the knob. It's a Winger Wednesday here on ESPN. You're headed for a heartbreak if you keep taking unders in Major League Baseball. There you go, folks. Stuart from Beavis and Butthead. His favorite group. He wears the t-shirt every day of Winger. I have a Winger t-shirt myself. That's a true story. Either here or there. That tells you about how sick we are in this show. Let's go to the text line, 859-381-1313. A couple of texts. Our friend Breezy is still kind of sending us his text. He is on the Kevin McReynolds Project. Kevin McReynolds Project right now doing pretty well. We're making a profit off that right now. But let's talk about something else. We go to another texter. Is the game changing for unders? These last 2 weeks have been brutal. You're right. I've read your book and know about sticking with it, but I've lost a lot the last 2 weeks on the unders with signals, money, and line movements to the under. So have I. That's why I've been complaining every day on this show. What happened to all these unders that we were hitting earlier in the season? Yeah, they have run dry. Cleveland's been killing me in these unders in the last week. I think that we've been unders, I think, 6 days in a row, and they've gone over every single time. And they're playing a doubleheader today. So, yeah, they didn't do it last night, but because they got rained out. That's the only reason. But they're playing this afternoon. We played the under in that one. We're sticking with it. Well, I've got two decades of data that says this is the way to go. Do you have bad streaks in gambling? Not just the little system like this one? Yes, you do. It's hard. This gambling thing is hard, not only emotionally, but financially. Sometimes when you get in streaks, you're like, man, I can't keep losing money. But from my experience, the second you do that is the second you hit that hot streak. That's why you'd only bet less than 1 or just 1% of your bankroll at a time. That's the max of your bet. Because if you're betting more than that, you're going to get in trouble. And that's not betting above your means. If one bet changes your life, heck, if 10 bets change your life, you're doing this the wrong way. So it's very important to not betting above your means, letting the losses kind of fly off your back, and just keep grinding. This is hard, folks. We talk about it in the book. We talk about it on this show. Sports gambling every day like we do it is very difficult. Not just financially if you're losing, but emotionally if you're losing. Yeah, the unders, the winning team unders are not hitting very well the last 10 days or so. It doesn't mean we quit because I got two decades over to say this is the way to go. So there you go. There's our diatribe for the day. We hope you're not with us in losing and all these unders. But hey, we're going to keep hammering these out. And speaking of which, we're going to start hammering out some winners starting right now for tonight's game. Game number one, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Boston Red Sox, Kansas City Royals. We've been on the Red Sox each of the first two games of this series. They've won each of the first two games of this series. If it wasn't for our sides, yeah, these totals really would be bringing us down right now. But we've been actually good at picking winners. So maybe, the Red Sox the last two nights have been helpful in that. Cutter Crawford for the Red Sox tonight, 3.81. Going up against Cole Reagans for the Royals, 3.36. This line open. Kansas City, a minus 150. Oh, they're due, right? That's one. It works in the NFL to do, stuff like that. Maybe not as much Major League Baseball. Look at the White Sox. Well, until last night. But the fact that we've seen the sharp money come in here again on Boston is a very telling sign here. We see 60%+ of the bets on Kansas City, yet we've seen the line drop. Uh-huh. We've seen this line drop now. Kansas City about a minus 140 favorite after opening a minus 150. And all the money right here, the money line splits tell it all. We see 82% of the tickets on Kansas City. If that's the case, how come this line has moved a dime towards Boston? That tells me everything I need to know. Boston has won the first two games of this series. After the last two nights, they're now the third best team in Major League Baseball this year as an underdog, 29 and 26, cashing big tickets. And they're hitting well right now, too. Last 10 nights, Boston's hitting over 300. They're hitting 312. Yeah, this is a good team right now. And they're 4-1 against Kansas City so far this year. But the sharp line move in Boston's favor as a road dog, that'll do it for me again tonight. We've been on the first two nights of this series. Let's do it again tonight. Give me Boston, the road dog in Kansas City. Two other games that we're looking at from a side perspective, and you know what they are. It's the Kevin McReynolds experiment or strategy or project. The Mets lose at Colorado last night. They're 2-3 so far this month, but the Padres are 3-1. So right now they're 5 wins and 4 losses, just eking out a very small profit. We're, like we said, we're playing both these teams every night in August. The desert was telling us who the better team was and who was going to win a lot of games this month before this thing all started. There's a reason why these were the two favorites going into this month, not teams like other big teams like the Orioles and Phillies and teams like that. So we're playing Mets and Padres. You got to lay some chalk with them tonight. It's all right. We did the same with Kansas City last month, and then by the end of the month, we turned the profit. So there you go. Kevin McReynolds project. Kevin McReynolds, basically ruined the 80s for both the Mets and the Padres. So there you go. That's why he's on this one. That's why he's the name of this kind of this little gig that we're doing here. And yes, we're going back to the unders tonight. Let's go back to the unders. Two winning teams get together over the years. Yes, they're still hitting 54% in a sample size of over 3,000 games. When two winning teams get together, go under the total. You see examples of that tonight. The games in Atlanta with Brewers and Braves. You see in Kansas City, Red Sox and Royals. And in L.A., this one hit last night, Dodgers and Phillies. Clayton Kershaw tried everywhere in the world to give that game up for the Dodgers last night. Also, look for some wind today in New York with the Yankees. They had their game last night rained out. Look for some wind. Yankees and Angels today, wind blowing straight in. Look to go under in that game as well. Also, if you don't believe in our little two winning team system, a couple of good strikeout pitchers tonight in Atlanta, Freddie Peralta and Chris Sale. We've seen that total actually rise from 7.5 to 8, but these are two heavy strikeout pitchers. So you might want to give an extra look to Milwaukee and Atlanta under tonight. Also, look for that doubleheader. Look for the doubleheaders today. Both games in Angels-Yankees and Game 2, Diamondbacks-Guardians. We hope they stay under. It's 4-2, bottom of 7 here. Cleveland is due to go under a total. So our Mac Daddy Stogies today, Major League Baseball. Sharp line move, give us the Red Sox. Kevin McReynolds project, give us Mets and Padres. Let's go under with two winning teams. I'm holding tight with it. The games in Atlanta, KC, Dodgers, and we'll take Guardians and Diamondbacks in game two of that one. Some wind in New York City with the Yankees. And, of course, give a double look to two big strikeout pitchers tonight in Atlanta going under. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies. Take those bad boys of the desert and smoke them. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Another interesting thing I saw with college football. There is more money put on Colorado to go over their win total than any other team in college football. A fool and their money are soon parted. Yeah, Colorado expected to win 5.5 games. They have more bets on them to make the college football playoff than any other school. Uh-huh, a fool and his money are soon parted. Coming up after the break, what did we learn on this show today? We'll try to figure something out. That's next. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. The Circa Sports app is now available in Kentucky. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, exceptional customer service, and more. Sports betting the way it should be. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Kentucky. Download your new bookie today at CircaSports.com. Must be 18 or older. For Kentucky problem gambling services, call or text 1-800-426.
25-37. Under, big under. Right, I said it, gonna set my soul, on fire. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line, Brad, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Yeah, these two winning team unders have not done well in the last couple weeks, but that doesn't scare me off. I'm going to keep throwing the dice is what we like to say. What did we learn on the bottom line today? Well, we learned that our friend Jimmy Phillips is really into fantasy football. If you missed any of his expert analysis on the current status of a lot of fantasy guys you're going to be drafting in your drafts coming up in the next few weeks, check out our podcast, WLXG.com, and on the app, search ESPN Radio Lexington. Jimmy's as sharp as it gets when it comes to fantasy football. Let's make sure that he gets the props that he deserves. Great information. I could put him in any draft right now and feel very good about his chances. I can promise you that. We also talked about the Reds and Ellie De La Cruz. Is he Ronald Acuna Jr.? Because Ronald Acuna Jr. won the MVP last year. 40-70. Could we see that from Ellie? Numbers say if early in his career, maybe so. And then we talked about the night in Major League Baseball from a handicapping perspective. Again, hit our podcast if you miss it, WLXG.com or on the app. And we'll be doing the Fast Money podcast very shortly. Thanks so much for joining us and getting your side hustle on. Don't forget to pick up a copy of the book at Amazon and in person at Joseph Beth, how squares like you and me can get on the road to becoming sharps. Don't forget the daily lineup here on ESPN Radio. Matthew and Jimmy, weekdays from 10 to noon. Alan Cutler, noon to 2. Yours truly, 2 to 3. And Paul Feinbaum and the best of the SEC from 3 to 7, except tonight at 6:10 You will be interrupted as we go to Miami for Reds and Marlins, game three of this series. Can the Reds keep it up? We will find out tonight from a handicapping perspective, and we'll just hear it on the radio as well. Also, don't forget our friends at Circa. Best odds, if you want to bet on or against the Reds tonight, they have the best odds. Our friends at Circa, 2 weeks from today, we're heading out there. We're looking forward to it, and we had a great time in March. Hopefully, we'll have just as good a time this time. So make sure to check out our friends at Circa, the best sporting app, sports betting app in the business, circasports.com, or just download it on your phone. Sports betting the way it should be. Thanks so much for joining us. Until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours. King, Kevin McReynolds. You ever heard of him? That's right, buddy. Thank you very much.
People, Las Vegas turning day into night, time turning night into daytime if you see it.